Today on The Journey with Steve DeWitt.
John's greatest priority was the gospel, Jesus, the kingdom of God, the mission of God in the world. These were the things that had the highest priority spot in his heart. And therefore, his highest joys affiliated with his highest priorities.
What makes your heart happiest of all? Today on The Journey, Pastor Steve DeWitt challenges us to examine our deepest sources of joy, reminding us that the truest joy comes from what matters eternally. We're learning how to align our priorities with heaven's values and find genuine happiness that reflects God's heart. It's another lesson from our series, Little Letters for Big Faith. And you'll find the full study online at thejourney.fm. Now, let's join Pastor Steve in the book of 3 John as he concludes his message, Gospel Exuberance.
We're in this series entitled Little Letters for Big Faith. We're looking at these little letters, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. And we just finished 2 John, and today we are beginning 3 John. And I'm going to guess most of you have not heard a good message lately from 3 John. Or maybe a message ever from 3 John. Well, today is your day, and I hope that it is a good one. So before we get into 3 John, as we oft do here at Bethel Church, when we begin a book, we want to talk a little bit about the background of the book and a little overview of the book, and I want to do that with 3 John. If 3 John has a distinction in the Bible, it is this, that its length makes it the shortest book of the Bible. It is the Zacchaeus of the Bible. It is a wee little book. And the author of this, we attribute to John the Apostle, one of the 12 apostles. He calls himself here elder. He doesn't identify himself, but most believe that it was indeed the Apostle John that wrote this. And unlike 2 John, which was written to a church, 3 John is written to an individual. And that guy's name was Gaius. So we don't really know who Gaius was, other than he was a close friend of John's and a leader in a church. And get this, now this is going to be shocking. This is a church that had problems. If there is a theme to 3 John, it is gospel hospitality and gospel generosity. Both of those are privileges for Christians when we see hospitality and generosity as actually partnership with God in the mission of God in the world. And we're gonna get into that a little bit as well. So these themes are gonna come up a little bit later. Today we're looking at really the greeting, the introduction. And we begin with John's gospel exuberance. And so let me read the text now. We're in 3 John 1 through 4, here's what it says. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. May God bless his word to us today. So what we see here is very relational language that John gives, writes to Gaius. And in this, we see some relational priorities, spiritual priorities of a spiritually mature Christian. And I want to note to you what is obvious from the beginning is that John uses deeply affectionate language. John, Paul, Jesus. If the greatest Christians were free with their love talk, even with other Christian men, and we don't, who do you think has that right? And you know what I'm saying with that. So again, who might John's example inspire you to verbally express your affection for, and I urge us to learn from John, maybe even after the service. But I want you to see that that is an indication of spiritual maturity, because we see it in John. So that's the first thing. Here's the second, is, and this is so interesting, the concern that John has for the whole person with Gaius. I don't know if you picked that up. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Okay, so those were just sort of the warm-up points. I'm now on my main point, the main thing I want to say today. Let's go back to the text. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Gaius was walking in the truth. John is happy he's walking in the truth. What truth is he walking in? 2 + 2 = 4? Is that the truth? No. What John says is that men came from wherever Gaius was, his church, and they sat around and they were talking and they gave him an update about how Gaius was doing. And John loved Gaius, and so he was happy to get an update on how Gaius was doing. This all seems like normal humanity, doesn't it? My brother is visiting for the next couple days, and a lot of our time is gonna be sitting around going, hey, what do you hear about Mrs. A and Mr. A? Or what's the update on, you know, the B family? And what do you hear going on back home with, you know, whoever? We like that. Don't we like getting updates on people we care about and how they're doing and what's going on? You can sort of see this. These guys come back and John says, hey, how's my old friend Gaius doing? Well, they reported that Gaius was walking in the truth. What do you suppose that means? Walking in the truth. We've been in John in the upper room. We've been in John in 2 John. We've had this theme of truth a lot. We saw in 2 John that the truth was at stake with these itinerant false preachers. And John says, don't help them at all. Don't endorse them. Don't take care of them. Don't give them any money. Why? Don't partner in their wicked deeds. The truth matters. Here he says that Gaius is walking in the truth. What does that mean? Well, the truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth is the gospel and the truth found in the Word of God. It is the doctrines that surround and maintain the purity of the gospel. That is the truth. So walking in the truth is language describing living faithfully as a Christian, especially spiritually. Not walking in the truth would mean stopping or regressing or going a different direction. Gaius was not doing those things. He was moving forward spiritually. He was faithfully walking the Christian life. He was continuing as a follower of Jesus Christ. And what is so interesting to me and that I'm trying to spur here in our congregation today is the glimpse we have into the priorities of John's heart. Notice that he says, regarding Gaius walking in the truth, I have no greater joy. I have no greater joy. Really? John? Nothing makes you happier than hearing of fellow Christians loving and obeying Jesus? Nothing makes you happier than to hear the advancement of the gospel in the life of somebody that you love? Nothing kind of fires you up more than to hear about how God is at work in people's lives? That's your greatest joy? I spent some time thinking about this. Like, what makes me the happiest? What gives me the greatest joy? Again, if I could ask you that question. If you were to have a category of your life that is the source of your greatest joy, what would that be? And how many of those joys are tied somehow to the gospel at work in the lives of people you love? Spiritual growth in the church. Hearing stories of God at work locally and globally and the gospel going forward. How many of us, that's the big thing for me. I like my morning coffee. I like a round of golf. I cheer for a local team. I plant flowers and I garden and I don't mind payday. And I value my friends and I like a clean house. But my greatest joy, more than any of that stuff, is God, His gospel, and His work in the world. I think most of us would probably resonate with John if he, rather than what he wrote, he would say, I derive joy from gospel fruitfulness. Because what Christian doesn't? Oh yeah, that's awesome. I'm happy about that. I'm happy that other people are following Jesus and, you know, overcoming sin in their life, whatever it might be. Here's the kicker in this text. John says, I have no greater joy. Nothing makes me happier. And this is where I think we all have something to learn from the Apostle John. What I am calling gospel exuberance. This is the heart and the happiness of a mature Christian. Again, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. And we see in this that John's greatest priority was the gospel, Jesus, the kingdom of God, the mission of God in the world. These were the things that had the highest priority spot in his heart. And therefore, his highest joys affiliated with his highest priorities. Again, I'm calling this gospel exuberance. Like, what gets us happy? What gives us joy more than anything else? Do you have gospel exuberance? Now today, the key in this to change is not to be determined to be happier about spiritual stuff. Maybe you leave today and you're like, I gotta be happier about spiritual stuff. You're missing the point, okay? You're missing the point. And it won't last until 3 o'clock this afternoon. The key is not to be determined to be happier about spiritual stuff. The key is to elevate gospel priorities in our hearts, because our hearts and our happiness, they go together. The happiness is an indication of the priority. It is the elevating of the priority that elevates the happiness in gospel work and ministry. And I would say that for the gospel to be the highest joy in our life, the work of the gospel and God's work in the world and the kingdom of God has to be the highest priority in our hearts. That's the key. It's a matter of the heart. Now, old-time preachers, and I'm way too young to be one of those, they used to try to make us guilty on this point and to basically say, the only thing you should be happy about is gospel ministry. That's the only pleasure in a godly Christian's life. And you know what? That's not the case. And I'm not saying that at all. If you've heard me teach before, you know this. Here's Paul in 1 Timothy 6:17. As for the rich in the present world, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, notice, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So a gospel-loving Christian, a spiritually mature Christian, delights in all the gifts that God gives, and that includes the coffee you maybe drank this morning. We're thankful for that. It's a gift from God. Amen. Pour me another one. It's right to have joy in those things that God gives us, big and small in our life. Here's the challenge, is that gospel exuberance reserves its highest joy for the things of God. And when we misplace our greatest joy, it shows that we have misplaced what ought to be our greatest priority. In fact, to ask the question, what would it look like for a professing Christian to live with their priorities upside down? Well, things that shouldn't matter would matter ultimately, and the things that should matter wouldn't matter so much. And of course, the world lives that way. The priorities of the society around us are upside down. The things that shouldn't matter are the things that in society, for them, matter the most. And the things that if they had eyes to see should matter the most don't matter so much. And we've lived in that world, and it's urging us to live for the fleeting and the temporary, to live for things that in eternity, is this gonna matter in eternity? How many joys were this week were associated for you with things that the heavenly version of you will be like, I wasted my time on that. Imagine John writing this, I have no greater joy than hearing your golf handicap is lower. We'd be like, is that in the Bible? I have no greater joy than your bank account is larger. That doesn't sound spiritual. Your waistline is thinner. Your wardrobe is bigger. Your car is newer. Your sports team is better. Your corporate role is higher. Your child is smarter. Your daughter is prettier. Your house is finer. Your fame is greater. That doesn't sound very apostolic. That's how you say that. That word didn't sound very apostolic either. And yet too often, and I say this with a desire for your proper and rightly placed joy, and mine as well. Too often, Christians reserve their exuberance for those things. And again, if your waistline's thinner and your daughter's smarter, great, happy about that. But with the qualification that our joy in those things is far less than our exuberance about what God is doing in the world, especially in the people we love. Can we say, I have no greater joy than to hear of someone receiving the Lord Jesus as their Savior? You realize in heaven, the angels dance over that. They dance over that. I don't think they dance over your son's baseball team. It's success or failure. They don't dance over your investment portfolio. Do you see the difference? No greater joy. It is a comparison. We have lots of joys. Praise God for all the big and small joys living in this world, the common grace of God to all of us. Love it. But then there is this category that should be reserved in the heart of the Christian for greatest joy. And the more we mature in the faith, the more our greatest joys correspond to what God delights in. How are you doing on that point? What are your highest priorities? What brings you the greatest joy and happiness? And so to conclude, I just would say, what should we do? Okay, you're like, I think I need to moderate here a bit. What should we do? Here's the first thing, is to identify those priorities, dare I call them idolatrous priorities, and repent. Confess it to God. Verbalize it. Bring it into the light and acknowledge it. This is way too important to me. It doesn't deserve this exuberance. God, help me to reorder my values. God, help me to care most about what you care most about and to not care so much for what you don't care so much. Secondly, and just like we're looking at John here for inspiration, I would say, do you know anybody in your life in some kind of a friendship level who you would say they live with the right priorities? Now, that's a Christian who has their priorities right. I would encourage you to spend a little bit more time with somebody like that, because this kind of reordering of priorities, it's infectious. I can think of people in my life where I just can tell they're living with a better priority list than I am. This is part of the blessing of being in a local church, along with many others. It puts you in proximity with people who are more spiritually mature than you are, and it inspires you to be more like them, or to be in a small group where, in kind of the intimacy of sharing and praying and caring, you see other people who inspire you. You can tell they're more mature. They don't seem to be caring about things I'm caring about, and they seem to be caring more about things that I should be caring about. It's infectious. Put yourself in relationships, in proximity with people that can inspire you. And I would encourage to ask honest questions like, am I allowing the world's priorities to shape mine? Do my highest joys resemble what I see in the Apostle John? Or do they resemble people that don't even know Jesus? Like, I'm exuberant about what they're exuberant about. That'd be a good indication something's not right. And how have misplaced priorities slowly seeped into my heart? And just pray. Say, God, help me to rediscover delight in you and what you're doing and what you delight in. I want to delight in what God delights in. Please help me to do that. And then finally, I would say, follow the example of John. Notice here that he praises Gaius for spiritual faithfulness and fruitfulness. He praises him for that. And of course, it takes some maturity to do that, but it produces what it praises. And so as you see other people who are displaying right priorities and right exuberance and right joy, verbalize that to them like John verbalizes it, writes it down for Gaius. And I think that you will find praising them and encouraging them for right priorities in their life has a way of reordering the priorities of our lives as well. So, gospel exuberance, okay? Thank you, John, for writing this to Gaius. I have no greater joy than hearing that God's people are walking in the truth. May that be true for all of us here today.
Amen. You're listening to The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt and the conclusion of a lesson in 3 John titled Gospel Exuberance. Remember, you can always revisit your favorite lessons from our current series, Little Letters for Big Faith, by visiting us online at thejourney.fm. Or for easy listening on the go, subscribe to The Journey podcast. Well, did you know that The Journey thrives because of faithful partners like you? We're sustained by believers who find their greatest joy in seeing the gospel advance in others' lives. Your generosity allows us to continue sharing messages that are not only biblically sound, but also life-changing. At a time when many settle for a faith of convenience, we remain committed to declaring the full weight of the gospel, its call to repentance, its promise of redemption, and its power to change lives. As Pastor Steve shared and we heard in today's lesson, what truly thrills a mature Christian's heart isn't worldly success or comfort, but seeing God's work in the lives of those we love. And that's why The Journey exists, to help believers reorder their priorities and discover their greatest joy in what matters eternally. And it's your support that enables us to reach countless listeners who need to experience this life-giving perspective. Would you partner with us today? This month, your gift will help us spread this message of gospel-centered joy and right heart priorities. To give, call 844-7-JOURNEY. Again, that's 844-756-8763. Or visit thejourney.fm. We also invite you to join us at Bethel Church, where Steve DeWitt is pastor. We're located in Crown Point, Indiana, or you can visit any of our satellite campuses. Or join us online via live stream. No matter how you join, you'll find engaging worship, biblical teaching, and a place to belong. Learn more at bethelweb.org. Well, that's all our time for today. I'm your host, Tim Svoboda, inviting you to join us next time for more teaching from Pastor Steve DeWitt here on The Journey. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.